Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome in to the Inside Carolina podcast, presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. I'm your host, Ross Martin, and joined, as always, by Inside Carolina's recruiting guru, Don Callahan. Don, it's been a while. What's going on, man?
I am actually recording from my hotel in Kernersville, where I'm essentially situated for this week's tour of practices that I'm going to. I know I'm not supposed to ask, but I am really curious about your trip, because one, you were gone so long, and two, because you actually left the country, and I don't know if you know this, but I have never been out of the country, mostly I'm afraid that as soon as I get off the plane, I'm going to be kidnapped and sold on the sex trade market, and that's just not a good thing for me. So tell me about your trip.
Well, first of all, I'm glad you're enjoying your beautiful morning in beautiful Kernersville, North Carolina. Definitely a destination stop. Trip was good, man. 14 days gone. Didn't bring my laptop, didn't do any work. Shout out to Ben and Greg for kind of covering for me work-wise. And I went to Dublin, Ireland for a couple days, and then flew to Croatia, hopped around Croatia on ferries and boats and stuff for 5 days. Then Slovenia for 2 nights, and Budapest, Hungary for 2 nights. Croatia was definitely the highlight. Pretty expensive, but man, it was exotic, tropical, beautiful water, beautiful islands, beautiful people. It was really fun. We stayed at hostels and like Airbnbs and stuff, and just toured around and did a couple things here and there, and chilled on beaches and rode scooters. And yeah, on the way back, I had a connecting flight. I went from Budapest to Moscow, Russia, and my layover was like 40 minutes. Like, the plane was a little late getting there, so I was like running through the Moscow airport, trying to find the gate. Everything is in Russian, obviously, and they have a different alphabet, so like it's not even like close to English. And I got patted down at the gate, entering the gate to get on my plane. They pulled me out of line and patted me down because I guess I was just like a tall solo guy traveling in his 20s and 30s. I also got patted down at Budapest too. So I got patted down twice.
I feel like
the most action I've gotten in a while.
I feel like Moscow is the one place I do not want to be singled out at all. Actually, I don't know if I want to be there, to be honest, but.
Yeah, I mean, I was just nervous about missing that flight, because I had a 10-hour flight to New York. And if I missed it, like, I would have to spend, I think, 24 hours in the airport. I don't want to be in Russia longer than you have to, you know? So
yeah,
glad I made it. Got back to work. I got back Thursday night at midnight. Camp started Friday morning. And I've been kind of going nonstop. Hopefully you all been reading a lot of the stuff we've been putting up on the site. Camp, I was, you know, went to interviews Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then yesterday, Tuesday, we had Mac Brown for the second time, first day in pads. And then Wednesday, we're recording Wednesday morning, they have off. So today's the first off day for a football team. But we're here to talk recruiting.
That's right. We are. And a lot has happened since you've been gone.
Correct. So let me lay out what we're going to talk about first. Pull up the Google document here. We're going to start with, Kedrick Bigley Jones committed to UNC on Saturday. A big commit, 4-star guy. One of the top commits now ranking-wise for UNC. We're going to follow that with a discussion on kind of the barbecue. Is that what it's called, the UNC barbecue, or is that how it's branded?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes, I guess it wasn't like truly branded, but all the material sent out to recruits for invitations label as a barbecue.
Yeah. And then from that, some updates on various recruits, including Jacorius Conley, a 4-star defensive back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of still brushing up on all the intel. And then we had UNC had a decommitment from Sean Martin. We'll touch on that. And then additionally, a lot of stuff, Elijah Green commitment and Dez Evans news that you shared, I believe, on the site this morning. Is that correct?
Yes, this morning posted. A lot of if you're a UNC fan, you'll love it. If you're a Virginia Tech fan, you're probably looking for my address.
And we have another top five, and we're going to leave with that in terms of previewing it. You want to talk about the new top five we want from you, the listeners?
Yes. So as we've been doing up until, I guess, the last podcast, send us in your top five favorite podcasts. And I think we should exclude Inside Carolina just because then every submission we're going to get is going to be Inside Carolina number one. And yeah. So we want to get a little variety. And this top five might be kind of more self-serving than anything else, because I am definitely interested to hear what podcast people are into, because I spend a lot of time on the road. I have basically given up radio completely and have relied solely on podcasts. So as always, send your submissions either to me on Inside Carolina's message board via PM, and my name is Don Callahan on there, or you could tweet at me at Don Callahan IC, all one word.
Yeah, and we'll share these in the next episode. I mean, this is a community. The Don and Ross Show is a podcast and message board community. We shared our top TV shows. We've just talked about summer activities. It's not all UNC stuff. So, I would love to get some new podcasts cooking. I listen to a lot of sports podcasts. And sometimes, you know, during the off season, it's good to branch out. So, sports, non-sports, your top five go-to podcast. Pull up your app and look through and pick your best and tell us why or why we should listen.
Yeah. All right. I want to emphasize, it does not have to be just football or just sports. Whatever you listen to.
Yeah. Whether that's politics or otherwise. All right. We're going to get right into it. Kedrick Bingley Jones committed to UNC on Saturday. He is a 6'4", 5". 266 pound strong side defensive end. He's ranked as the number 160 player in the nation, the number 16 defensive tackle, the number 8 player in UNC. The Tar Heels land another top 10 player from the state of North Carolina. So what you were there, Don, you know, what was it like? Lay out what it kind of the atmosphere there and what this kind of means for UNC. Dive in.
Well, basically, just to kind of lay out the schedule, because I think that kind of explains everything really well, is they had a practice that morning, and then they had like a immediately afterwards, they had like, I guess you can call it a barbecue cookout sort of thing. It was indoors. I feel like anything indoors can't be labeled a barbecue or cookout. But, the entire team was there, and immediately after everybody got done eating, Bingley Jones went up to a table that was set up, and I mean, he didn't have hats on the table. He was just true to who he is. He just simply took off his jacket and revealed a UNC shirt, also put on a UNC hat. I think his dad also put on a UNC hat also. So very simple, straight to the point, no playing games with hats or anything like that. Commit to North Carolina. A huge gift for North Carolina. As you mentioned, one of the top commits for this class right now.
Now, this is another defensive tackle that UNC has added. Where do you see him kind of fitting in, and what does he bring from a player standpoint, and maybe how it contrasts to UNC's other defensive line commitments in this class? Because we're getting so many, and we've talked about it. It's kind of been the theme for our podcast, the defensive line commitments.
Yeah, I mean, I think and we've talked about this a little bit during, I think it might have been our most recent podcast, which was a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was the one before that, where we talked about Jay Bateman's defense, and Bingley Jones fits in that 4-eye technique, so that, if you're looking at the 3-4 scheme, you have the 3 down linemen. He'd be one of the 2 that are towards the end of the line. And he fits that position perfectly because of the fact that he does have some pass rush ability, but his true strength is his ability to create havoc against a run and hold up strong at the point of attack. He's a kid that he's excelled wherever he's been. He actually started his high school career at Kannapolis Brown High School, where he was a standout there. He went to Providence Day School before last season, ended up being an all-state selection. Stats were unbelievable. He's a guy who is highly conveyed, and for good reason.
Yeah, he's 266 right now in terms of weight. I guess that position, as I am kind of learning this, it's a little confusing, especially because I think this year – UNC lacks a second 4-eye, that kind of second player alongside Aaron Crawford and Jason Strobridge. They don't have a standout number two right there. So I think we'll see Tamon Fox play that a lot more than, and he's probably more of a linebacker. But Bingley Jones will have to put on some more weight. And but at 266, he probably needs to be about 280, if not a little bit more, to play that position. But putting on 20 pounds between now and college and ending college is definitely doable. Yeah, so a huge commitment for UNC. He's a second-ranked player in UNC's class, right behind another recent commitment, Miles Murphy out of Greensboro Dudley, who might be more of that. It's kind of a similar position. Would you say they're similar in terms of their role in
college? Yeah, and I think when UNC landed commitments from those two guys, they kind of figured, okay, we have our 2 4-eyes from this class, and that was our mentality. Yeah. And so, yeah, so these guys play the same position, basically. And as we talked about in that Jay Bateman podcast, those two, regardless of what side, they're interchangeable. But, yeah, I mean, to have these two guys, your top two commits to have this position, I mean, it just kind of tells you just what the defensive line is going to look like in a couple of years.
Yeah, and A.J. Beatty kind of fits that as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. So he'd be in the mix also for the 4-eye as well.
Yeah, and I'll say it once, I'll say it again. You can't have enough big, 6'4" plus defensive tackles, guys that can carry, 260 to 300 pounds of weight. UNC lost a lot that graduated after 2018. You really see kind of some misses in recruiting in the last couple classes because there's a lack of depth there. They're trying to develop guys like Zach Gill. Jaleel Taylor is kind of the backup nose tackle, it seems. So, yeah, that's a position they need, and they're going to need it quickly. You may see a couple of these guys play next year if they can develop quickly enough. Anything left on Bingley Jones?
No, I'm ready to get on to the next topic because we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, but first we're going to talk about Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com, your stop for all your UNC apparel. It's on Franklin Street. It's Chapel Hill owned, locally owned. And a tradition for over 35 years. Focus all on UNC. Get your gear, get your hat, get your shirt, sweatshirts, anything you need, like a good pair of mesh casual basketball shorts. I'm sure they have tons at Giant T-Shirt and online at GiantT-Shirt.com. The best customer service is right there on Franklin Street. You can make it a stop as you walk from He's Not to Top of the Hill to Keenan Stadium or to the Dean Dome. Stop at GiantT-Shirt.com during the day. And remember that IC subscribers get 10% off online with a store you can find on the premium message boards. Great for gifts. I know got birthdays coming up. Father's Day has passed, but it's not too early to start your Christmas shopping. So check out GiantT-Shirt.com. All right, moving on, Donald. Let's dive into the barbecue. I was out of town. I didn't really follow the coverage of that. I'm sure it was awesome. You obviously was a big part of your coverage the last couple of weeks. Tell us briefly what it was like from what you've tapped on from sources and the format of it and obviously the purpose of it and kind of how it went down for the Tar Heels.
Well, this one is going to be different from any future ones if they intend on holding any future ones because not only because it was Mac Brown's the first opportunity for UNC to unveil the upgraded locker room and weight room and also the field turf to the recruits. So that kind of started off the event. Then the event went to a more traditional sort of cookout that was held in the indoor practice facility. And then afterwards, it was kind of like a usual visit where, you had meetings with Mac Brown, you had the photo shoots with the jerseys and all that sort of stuff. And it's actually only a few hours, but definitely an impactful weekend for North Carolina with the recruits that were there.
How was it different from other, big recruiting days, like a junior day or like a, basketball visit day?
I think the main difference, junior day, the focus is touring the facilities, going through a lot of presentations with the strength and conditioning coach and the nutritionist and academic advisors and so on and so forth. Whereas this was more of, let's show you the facilities just because they're new, and then let's just hang out, eat barbecue as long as you want, and just kind of talk. And let's bring your family. And the UNC coaches had their families there, so it was more of a kind of let's just kind of relax and have a barbecue like you would with your friends and family back at home.
And select recruits, you know, invite only type deal.
Yeah, yeah, for the most part, yes. I mean, it was, it was the guys that they invited were either commits or guys who were highly targeted by North Carolina.
Gotcha. So what did UNC achieve? What do you think was the major takeaways? And obviously commitments, you know, Bingley Jones came off of that, but he wasn't there, was he?
He was there. He was there. Okay. And that was gotcha. Well, now for Bingley Jones, I don't think it affected things. I think actually I know Bingley Jones had his decision made prior to that cookout. And really the cookout was probably the last sign that, okay, he's definitely coming to North Carolina. But there was no actual verbal commitments there, but UNC finally got Jaquarius Conley, a four-star safety you mentioned earlier in the podcast, finally made it to campus. And there was, from my understanding, some nervousness because he got there not late, but he got there towards the tail end of registration, which got people thinking, oh my God, is he not going to come again? Especially since there was rumors that he might end up at Virginia Tech instead. But fortunately for UNC, he ended up at North Carolina. And we spoke to him immediately following that visit, and he came out and just said, North Carolina is my leader, and I'm going to begin the process of trying to schedule a an announcement, which the other day he actually set for August 23rd for his home opener, or I'm sorry, his senior season opener. He's going to make a his verbal commitment. So that was huge because for those who have been kind of following my coverage of him, I'm a huge fan of Bingley Jones on the football field. I mean, he's like I mentioned earlier, I go to practices a ton, and my top three practice guys, he would definitely be one of them.
Yeah, so it seems, I mean, the writing's on the wall there. He visits UNC finally, names UNC as leader, and then sets a commitment date. That's kind of as a former recruiting writer, that's the big three you kind of look for there, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. So, I mean, right now, the battle that UNC is waging is that South Carolina has or had an official visit scheduled with Conley for a game in September. And they're spending the dead period trying to get him to stick to that official visit and take that official visit, which obviously would require him pushing back his decision or officially visiting with, you know, with still making that decision. But anyway, so UNC's focus is to try to get him to not take that visit. The good thing is this is where Conley's personality kind of works in UNC's favor. As UNC has battled for the last several months with, he's not the easiest to get a hold of. You know, his family doesn't seem to completely understand the recruiting process. They don't seem to put a lot of focus on it. They're more focused on, you know, or Conley's more focused on getting better on the football field and doing his own thing.
Yeah, what a world we live in where, you know, you get him on campus, and it's so hard to get him there, and then you're thankful that he doesn't visit anywhere else if that does come true. Jaquarius Conley, four-star guy, number 25 safety in the country, number 12 player in the state of North Carolina, would be another kind of top 20 in-state guy. Currently, UNC has commitments from, I think, finally count real quick. They have three players in the top 10 with Dez Evans still undecided. But then you look outside the top 10, Ray Greer from in-state, Kendall Carr, number 16, and a number of other players, DJ Jones, Jefferson Boaz, so Cedric Gray. So they're definitely getting more in-state guys, but you would expect that to increase in the next couple classes because, you know, Auburn, Texas A&M, NC State, Clemson all have players, South Carolina all have players in the top 10. All right, so that's a good update there on obviously a player that will kind of round out this recruiting class. You know, with, let's see, put you on the spot here, with Bingley Jones in and potentially a commitment from Conley, how many spaces are left for UNC in this class?
Really, I think you're looking at a class in the 25 range, give or take a spot or two. And so I think we're only looking at like maybe three more spots, four more spots.
Yeah, so 22 right now. If they do add Conley, they put it at 23. They did lose Sean Martin. So you say they're 22, 23, and you say they're going to add maybe three or four people. What positions are we looking at?
I think, well, at this stage, I think offensive line is probably, if you're just looking at just purely position, offensive line is probably the focus. But all the other positions, UNC has really kind of met their quota and really is just trying to get the best guys available regardless of what position they are, which is why, you know, they're pursuing guys like Conley and Des Evans and Keandre Lambert.
Yeah, so to definitely, you know, include Evans, does that count as well? So as another defensive lineman, so maybe another offensive lineman, and then kind of best available type deal. Interesting. Now, how many wide receivers? They have, what, three wide receivers committed? And that's all
three
they're taking?
Yes, but I mean, they would, a guy like Lambert, they would make room for.
And Musa Muhammad or something like that, if things were to change there.
Yeah.
Not to say that they are. All right, great. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about Sean Martin, Elijah Green, and Des Evans.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we're back. Don, some other news that broke this weekend, I believe, shortly after the barbecue, was the decommitment of defensive end Sean Martin, a West Virginia guy, committed early in the summer after a visit to UNC, and he is decommitted. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the timing was kind of curious because he attended the barbecue with both of his parents. His parents are divorced, which kind of has played in there. I don't want to get too much into the personal stuff because, one, I don't know, and two, it's personal. So it was good to see both of them together for this visit, and I thought that was a good sign for North Carolina. And then, I guess a day later, rumblings started coming out that he was wanted to take visits to other places. And I spoke to his mom. I spoke to some sources, and it turns out that basically UNC North Carolina said, "Okay, you do your thing. We're going to do our thing." Within that, Martin just decided, "Let me just go back on the market completely." And that's what he did through a Twitter tweet late one night. I think it was like Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember which night it was, but he's no longer a part of this class. I think some of it had to do with the fact that there's a lot of pull from people within West Virginia to stay in state, especially for their top targets, because West Virginia doesn't have a whole lot of top targets. I know Ryan Switzer dealt with a lot of that when he was being recruited and had to kind of fend that off. And he actually, there were a lot of awards and stuff like that that he didn't get because he felt like some of the local people weren't happy that he wasn't staying in state. And I'm sure some of that for Sean was playing in there. I think the family dynamics is kind of a factor in here in this whole situation. So North Carolina obviously has an open scholarship or had an open scholarship until they got those two commitments recently.
Yeah, I really loved his game. His long 6'6" type guy, could play on the edge, kind of in that outside linebacker, defensive end, flex role as a pass rusher. I kind of thought he fit that role perfectly for what UNC needed in terms of, or what UNC wants and Jay Bateman wants as a edge pass rusher and somebody who can play in space a little bit, athletic, but leaves options for other people to grab on. And they still have some commitments at that position as well. So they will move forward. All right, Elijah Green, he committed a week or so ago. Is that correct?
Yeah. His commitment and Sean Martin's decommitment kind of happened around the same time.
And that's the third running back commit for UNC in the class. He's joining DJ Jones, who's an in-state guy from Fayetteville. And the second running back is
Elijah Burris.
Elijah Burris. Oh, yeah. Very bottom here. Okay. Gotcha. So what was going on there, Elijah Green? It felt like a little bit of a new name for maybe the outside guys who aren't too deep into recruiting. We can tell us about that recruitment and why UNC wanted to take his commitment.
Well, he was a guy that North Carolina was on heavily early on, and he actually made a visit during the spring. And then he just kind of took his visits very quietly. They were Power 5 schools, but they were Power 5 schools that don't get a lot of recruiting media attention, like Michigan State. I can't think of any of the other ones off the top of my head, but so he made his visits and always held North Carolina very highly, but then UNC met their quota at running back, which is the two running backs, Elijah Burris and DJ Jones. Jones actually being the final of those two towards the end of June. So UNC was just in a position where they're like, they really liked him. And they kind of thought, well, maybe we will need a third running back after kind of reevaluating what, the current running backs on roster look like in the spring, particularly Michael Carter, and how, he has the potential to have a breakout year, which would give him some options to potentially leave early. So, added the fact that Elijah Green continued to show interest, the fact that they liked him on the field and off the field, it was just, they just said, hey, let's just do this. Let's take this commitment. And Green returned to campus just before the summer dead period resumed and made a verbal commitment shortly after, or publicly made a verbal commitment the next day.
And what is UNC getting in him, and kind of how is he different from DJ Jones and Elijah Burris? I think these are players that maybe are a little underknown in this class. I think a lot of the attention has been on quarterbacks and defensive linemen, but they have three running backs now.
Yeah, I think he actually is very similar to Elijah Burris. They're both are guys who rely more on their vision and their ability to cut, to hit holes that they see, to gain yardage. They aren't guys who are going to blow past you with their speed, are just are crazy elusive, or are just power backs. I mean, they have a little bit of those aspects, but they rely mostly on their vision, seeing lanes open up and hitting them at the proper moments. I think Elijah Green is a little bit more quick twitch than Burris, but he's also not as big of a back as Burris is. I think Burris is about 10 or 15 pounds heavier, but very similar style running backs.
Good stuff. Just a personal thing here, man. There's only one ball, and you got three running backs in this class. It's a crowded room. You had a Jordan Brown transfer. And then you look at this class, and there's three tight ends. You have Kendall Carr, John Copenhagen, and probably Jefferson Boaz. I mean, what do you think about them taking three tight ends and three running backs? Is that because they need the players because of some recruiting misses, or what's going on there?
Well, if you look at it, North Carolina wants to have five running backs on roster, scholarship running backs on roster at all times. You know, and actually they're going to head into this season with just four. So you think, okay, we're going to lose one with the graduation of Antonio Williams. You bring in two, that gives you to five. But then you're looking at it and you're like, all right, what happens if Michael Carter does leave for the NFL? Then you're back down to four again. So this is more of a preventative measure to make sure UNC has the proper depth at running back. And I think the one thing that allows this to be possible is the fact that running backs are a lot smarter now and realizing that it is so much better for me to be in a running back by rotation so that my, you know, the tread on my tires aren't so bad that when I have an opportunity to play in the NFL and have, you know, running backs in general don't have very long careers in the NFL, but to have a, I guess, a relatively long career in the NFL, you know, because I didn't carry the ball so much back in college. So, and that was the question I had for Elijah Green when I was speaking to him about that. And the thing with it too, is that, you know, he actually looked at it as a positive and not as a negative for playing in a running back by committee sort of situation.
And finally, we're going to close with some Dez Evans talk. I feel like he's the favorite guy of this podcast, right down the road from Chapel Hill. Desmond Evans, a 24/7 Sports composite five-star player, number 18 player in the 2020 class, number 2 weak side defensive end, and number 1 player in the state of North Carolina. Don, you posted a premium update on the on Inside Carolina without giving away too much. What's kind of going on right now with Desmond Evans' recruitment as the football season begins and obviously more visits might happen?
Well, the main thing is that for those who've been following, they know back in May, he released his top 10 schools list. And so now he has been, for the past couple of months, he's been working on cutting that list in half to five. He says he has his five, and he will be releasing his five in the very near future. It all depends on when he gets his edit for the tweet for those five, which is significant. In the actual story, he does give us a little bit of a glimpse into that five by telling us one of the schools that have made the cut. I'm not going to say which one. You have to read the story for that. He also mentions that he has a leader, which is, I think, pretty telling. He had some comments about his thoughts on North Carolina and also why he chose to go to Virginia Tech's Hokie Bash that weekend in July where North Carolina held its barbecue. A lot of interesting stuff, and I think things progressing in the right direction for UNC in the recruitment for sure.
Good stuff. And we'll have, obviously, updates weekly, monthly on Dez Evans until he commits. He's been a big target for UNC for the entire period and is really ramped up with the new staff on board in Chapel Hill. All right, that's about it, Don. A pretty information-packed podcast, I thought. A lot of different players, two commitments, a decommit, a big barbecue, a little Euro trip update, and a lot of good stuff in there. Anything you want to add?
No, I think we're going to have tons of content from Ross and Greg on the football side of things, the actual team stuff. And, you know, I'm going to continue to be updating everyone on the 2020 class and 2021 class as I'm going to, you know, at least a practice a day. Most days I'm going to two or three practices of UNC targets. So we'll have tons of information on all of the main guys from North Carolina.
Good stuff. Yeah, a lot of good team scoop coming out when we can get it out to you. And obviously good interviews with players and updates on positions and developments. It's an exciting time to be on Inside Carolina and be on the podcast. There's going to be some more team UNC training camp podcasts dropping as well with Buck and Greg and Tommy. So be sure to listen to those. But finally, there's some actual football to kind of write about and watch, which is exciting. And with that comes visits and recruitment and changes with UNC's class. So it's an exciting time to be following UNC football recruiting. Remember, our top five for next week, the next podcast, is your top five podcasts outside of Inside Carolina that you listen to. Inform us, inform the other listeners, the stuff you listen to. And we'll be back next time on the Inside Carolina podcast, presented to you by Johnny T-Shirt.com.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.